from the Old Testament book called Ecclesiastes. There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. I know that there is nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in all their toil. This is a gift of God. The New Testament reading is from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. One day, some followers of John the Baptist came and asked Jesus, "Why do we and the Pharisees often go without eating, while your disciples never do?" Jesus answered, "The friends of a bridegroom don't go without eating while he is still with them, but the time will come when he will be taken from them. Then they will go without eating."
Who would choose to begin a diet on Thanksgiving Day? For most people in most years, Thanksgiving is a festive time spent with loved ones, with dear friends. Often, Thanksgiving features large gatherings spilling into many rooms in the home. It's a time to celebrate, to make merry, to enjoy one another's company. And one of the ways we do that is with food and drink. It wouldn't make sense to try to celebrate such a joyful time by abstaining from eating and drinking. Fasting when it's time to celebrate? Unthinkable. And that's how Jesus felt, especially when he was questioned by some disciples, not his disciples, disciples of John the Baptist. Let's recall John the Baptist. His mother Elizabeth and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were cousins. So John and Jesus were something like second cousins. We can imagine that they were probably playmates during their childhood. As an adult, John had set out on a traveling ministry proclaiming the imminent arrival of God's Savior, as promised in ancient scripture. John had called people to join him in getting their lives in shape, cleaning up their act, purifying their hearts, turning away from selfish, self-centered, sinful attitudes and actions. Many people heeded the call of John the Baptist. They repented. They turned their lives around. They cleaned up their act. They followed him. And then Jesus came on the scene to begin his public ministry of preaching and teaching and healing. Jesus asked John to do for him what John had been doing for others, a ritual of baptism to signify the cleansing of the soul in embracing God's gift of the Spirit. Having been baptized, Jesus began his ministry. Jesus preached the good news of God's unmerited love for all who place their faith in him. But for whatever reason, John's disciples didn't begin to follow Jesus. They continued living their life of faith as they had before. They continued following John the Baptist and his personal practices. One of those practices was to abstain from eating, to fast 2 days per week. Now, the Jewish calendar required fasting only 1 day per year. Of course, people might fast on other occasions. Maybe they wanted to show God they were remorseful for something that they had done, or they were in mourning, grieving a death, so they would fast. But to John's disciples, fasting showed how devoted they were to John. So they didn't abstain from food 1 day per year. They fasted twice a week. One day, some followers of John the Baptist approached Jesus with a question. "Hey, how come your followers don't fast like we do?" Apparently, they thought Jesus' disciples weren't as devoted to him as they themselves were to John the Baptist. Well, to answer their question, Jesus used the image of a wedding. He said to them, "If you were celebrating your best friend's wedding, would you choose that occasion to start a diet, to refrain from eating and drinking? Of course not. While you're with the bridegroom, you celebrate. Once he's gone away, there will be plenty of time to not raise a glass." Now, of course, with the hindsight from our place in history, we can imagine that Jesus could see that there would come a time when he would no longer be with his disciples. Like we heard in the Old Testament book called Ecclesiastes, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. So while the disciples were still in the company of Jesus, it was a time to laugh. It was a time to dance. Jesus believed that it was good for his disciples to recognize and celebrate all God had given them to be thankful for. Well, what about today? What time is it? What time are we living in now? Now, we might be quick to say, "Oh, we're in a time to weep." What with the threat posed by the presence of a global viral pandemic? Yes, what time are we living in now? We might argue, well, we're in a time to mourn. After all, just think about all the activities that normally would have filled our summertime days. Think how much we would have been hanging out with our friends. Think of all the places we would have liked to have gone. Think of all the opportunities lost to spend time with our parents or our children or our grandchildren. But wait. The risen Christ is with us as keenly now as ever. The Spirit of the loving Jesus reveals God's immeasurable, unstoppable love as powerfully as we've ever known it. Why would we refrain from celebrating as long as the bridegroom is with us? Celebrate in this pandemic season, in this uncertain time? Exactly. With Jesus living in our hearts, our lives are filled with blessings. Blessings that, sadly, we so often overlook. But Jesus invites us to celebrate the life that God has given us, to embrace an approach to our days characterized not by greed and grumbling, but by gratitude and joy. So what are things right now in your life that call for celebration? Here are a few things that I celebrate even in this stressful, uncertain time. First, we've all heard the stories on the news of the citywide expressions of gratitude in New York City at 7 p.m. every day. It started several months ago. Around 7 p.m., people simply started clapping as an audible tip of the cap to the thousands of hospital and public safety workers. And then some started ringing bells and blowing horns, shaking rattles, playing music, cheering and yelling from the sidewalks and the apartment windows and the balconies and the rooftop gardens to celebrate the men and women who put themselves at risk caring for everyone and anyone in the Big Apple. That happened every night for months. Maybe it's still happening today. And hearing about all that makes me think of the first responders right here in Cleveland, or the first responders in Phoenix, or Knoxville, and every other big city in the country. And then I picture the EMTs and the nurses and doctors serving small towns and rural areas where the few and far between hospitals aren't much bigger than your typical Applebee's. I celebrate those dedicated, exhausted, determined servants in these days. And I imagine you celebrate them too. What else do I find reason to celebrate? I'm thankful for the work being done by a little-known ministry in Ohio to help men and women successfully transition from prison to normal society. This week, I heard the founder of an organization called True Freedom Ministries. He was talking about the volunteer chaplaincy that they do in Ohio prisons. He described the partnerships that they develop between the state corrections department and local employers. This program enables prisoners to develop marketable job skills through externships. 5 days a week, they leave the prison at 5:30 in the morning and return at night in order to go to work for the last few months of their sentence. Often, they have full-time jobs with benefits waiting for them when they're released. This ministry also helps men and women find a place to live and arrange transportation so they can get to their jobs. It keeps the vast majority of them from returning to prison. As one worker said of his transformation from prisoner to tax-paying community member, he said, "So many of us failed so many people, but this ministry believed in us." Do you remember the story of Jesus called the Great Judgment in Matthew chapter 25? That's when the king says, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me." Well, many churches and nonprofits do a lot of very good work caring for people facing those challenges: the homeless, the hungry, the refugee, the sick. But Jesus mentioned one more condition in that story that very few of us do anything about. "I was in prison and you came to visit me." That's why I'm grateful that there are compassionate, strong, determined, patient people like those at True Freedom Ministries. They do the hard work of trying to help people transition from the cell block to the neighborhood block, helping people who want to do the right thing after doing their time. What else do I find to celebrate in these tenuous times? The efforts by so many people to continue the education process under pandemic conditions. I celebrate the moms and dads who elevated parenting to a whole new level by overnight also assuming the role of classroom teacher. On the fly, they had to learn to balance their own workday responsibilities and household duties with new challenges like classroom management right there in their kitchen, and how to help their children with unfamiliar subject matter. And I celebrate the students who responded with the necessary flexibility and discipline to make the best of an undesirable situation of being away from their classmates and separated from their teachers. And I celebrate the building principals and administrators and teachers in school districts throughout Ohio and in every state and really in countries all around the world who continue to work on figuring out a plan of action for a new school year under circumstances never before encountered in their careers. Oh, and one more thing. I celebrate the reassurance that we feel from seeing nature, especially on this weekend that officially ushers in the summer season. Nature's beauty is a visual reminder that our largest concerns are dwarfed by God's majesty, power, attentiveness, and compassion. Why would we imagine that we have anything to celebrate in these challenging, frustrating, and sometimes scary times? Because like well-wishers attending to the bridegroom, we know that we are living in the presence of Jesus Christ, who we worship and serve. We are living in the presence of Jesus Christ, who blesses us in this life and in everlasting life. Today and in the days ahead, we can find so many reasons to praise God, from whom all blessings come.